Hey, Russell Evans here from Planet Shakers. We are so excited to have you join us today for the service. I'm believing for the greatest breakthrough you could ever, ever imagine to have. I believe that God wants to heal you, touch you, set you free amazingly, and you experience His presence. So sit back and enjoy the sermon as we deliver what God has to say to us today. God bless you. While I was away, I just felt the Lord begin to stir me about what God is doing and what the enemy is trying to do as well. And I felt the Lord begin to speak to me. There are people here that were under pressure, and that you were carrying burdens and you were carrying stress, and that God wanted to minister to you today, and that God wanted to, it's like the enemy has tried to stifle your supernatural increase. And even though the church is doing so well and people are doing so well, we're having so many miracles, still there is the enemy who does not like what God is doing. And so I've got a sermon to you called Resistance and Reformation today. Resistance and Reformation. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you being here. We thank you for what you're about to do. Give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and change our lives in the name of Jesus. And everyone with faith said? Yeah. Everyone with faith shouted? Yeah. Great. We're Planet Shakers, not boring church. Thank you, musicians, linesmen, and ball boys and ball girls. Thank you very much there, Glenn. And Jonathan, very handsome lad. You got good jeans. I bought them for you. Ha ha. Bang, bang. Look at you. Did you do your hair this morning? No, we can tell. I didn't do my hair either, but it doesn't matter. Were you taking a picture of me then? Do you want to, did it make me look fat? You got to make it look skinny, right? You right? No, I got to do it this way. Okay, cool. Are you married? You single? Okay, we'll find your husband because of that. just joking. James chapter 4. I like the book of James. So small, that's why I like it. It's not the book of Leviticus. It's like, you know, it's the book of James. It's so small, but it's such a small book, but such an important book. Every book in the Bible is important, but there's some books that I think you can learn more from. You can learn from every book, but there's some books that you can really get a side to Jesus that you won't get in other books, because every book has a side of Jesus that you'll see. I'm not saying that. But James, the reason why James is such a great book is because James was Jesus' brother. So James didn't know Jesus for 3 years. He knew him for his whole lifespan. So James would have seen Jesus as a kid. He would have seen him as a teenager. He would have seen him as a young adult. And he would have seen him as an adult. And he would have seen him when he wasn't known as the Messiah, to the place where he became the Messiah. So he would have learned Jesus' MO the whole way. So you get an insight into Jesus. You know, if you came to my house and my children would explain to you more about me than somebody who knew me for 3 years, because they've seen every part of my journey except for my teenage years. And so James is talking here, and in verse 7 he says, so humble yourself before God. So he would have seen Jesus doing this and modeling this. He saw the Son of God humble himself before his Father. In fact, Jesus would pray and he would seek the face of his Father. And so he says, so humble yourself before God. And then this word, which is really prophetic for this morning. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, the devil does not want you to live in supernatural increase. He doesn't care if you don't make any difference on the earth. He doesn't care about you. But when you start making a difference and changing the lives of people, he will try to stop you. He will try to discourage you. He will try to make you tired. He'll try to bring sickness upon you. He'll try all these things. And James is saying here, because he would have seen that Jesus had modeled this, resist the devil and he, not mayfully, but willfully. That word resist means to stand against, and that word flee means to escape. So when you resist the devil, he wants to get out of your presence so quickly because he can't handle resistance. He loves apathy, but he hates when people understand who they are and whose they are, and they understand the authority they carry. He doesn't mind it when you're like, oh, lying. You know, that's just life. No, he hates it when you get up in the morning and you decide, you might say that about my family, but God says this about my family. You might say that about my finance, but God says this about my finance. You might say this about my health, but God says this. Resist. John 10:10 gives the MO of Satan and the MO of Jesus. Reading from the message, it says, a thief is only there to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's Satan's plan, to steal, to kill and destroy. But then Jesus, I love Jesus because he flips it. He says, I've came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they've ever dreamed of. Jesus says, the devil's plan is to steal, to kill and destroy. But my plan is to give you a life that is so great that it would amaze you and leave you astounded and amazed at the goodness of God in your life, because the plans God has for you, Jeremiah 29:11 says, are for good, a good hope and a good future. That's a time to get very excited, because when God says he's come to give you a life and life to the full, he's a winner. High five your neighbor and say, it's on in here. So, the enemy's MO is, modus of operation is to steal. What does he want to steal? He wants to steal everything of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven from you. But you know, he can only steal what you allow him to. He actually has no right to take from you. So the only thing he can steal is what you say, okay, take that from me. You know, we have our campus pastors in Singapore, Pastor John and Debbie. They were in South Africa, and Pastor Debbie was born up in like a farming area in Western Australia. She's as tough as nails. And one day, these intruders break into a house with a gun. And I don't totally recommend what she did, but it's a good picture. They say, they have a gun and they say, give me your car keys because we're going to take your car. She said, no. They said, if you don't give us the car keys, we're going to shoot you. She goes, shoot me then. So they shoot her in the leg and then they run away. But they never took her car. I would have given them the keys. I'd rather my leg than the car. But the truth is, she stood her ground and they couldn't take the car. She resisted them. They came to steal the car, but because she resisted them, they couldn't take the car. The enemy's plan is to steal everything of the kingdom of heaven from you, but the only thing he can steal is what you allow him to. His plan is to kill off your dreams, your life, your family, your future. He wants to kill your life, but he can't kill you because God has defeated him. He wants to destroy you. Everyone say destroy. Oh, there's another destroy in the Bible, because the enemy's MO is to kill, steal and destroy. Here's Jesus's purpose. His purpose was for man to be free and live a life in relationship with God. That's Jesus's purpose. 1 John 3, 8b says this, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The enemy wants to destroy our life, but Jesus says, watch me turn the destroy back on him, and I've come to destroy him and his work. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, was to destroy the works of the evil one. Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. Colossians 2, 6 to 15 in the New Living Translation says, and now, just as you've accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots go down into him and let your lives be built on him. Everyone say, build on Jesus. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. In other words, let the kingdom of God be the philosophy of your life. And the truth is, be wary of people who want to do things in the dark. Jesus came to put the light on things, not put it in darkness. You know, at times people come into our church and, you know, if you ever have anyone come to you and say, hey, do you want to come to a Bible study, but don't tell anyone? By the way, there is a group that came in recently that tried to do that with some of our members. They're called a cult. Because cults don't want anything exposed. They want to have little Bible studies that seem spiritual, but don't tell anyone. Don't tell your leaders particularly. Why? Because they want to capture your mind to take you from the truth of God's word. And I'm a shepherd, and I watch over people, and I love people. And if any wolf comes into our church, we're going to deal with them. We will pray for them and ask God to reveal his truth to them. But do not let people take you into deception. Jesus didn't come to hide things, he came to reveal things. He's the revealer of truth. He's not the he's not a concealer. Shh, don't tell anyone. Ooh. So if anyone ever does that, say, I'm ringing the pastors. They will run to another church really quickly. Got you really thinking now. Who could that be? We know. It says this, I love this. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also complete through your union with Christ, who's the head over every ruler and authority. People might set themselves up as rulers and authorities, but Christ is the head. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. People might say, I'm more important. And you know what? They might have a season of importance. But the truth is, one day they're going to die. Jesus is alive. You can't get any more higher than him. I need way more fallback. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, not by a physical procedure. Christ formed a spiritual circumcision, which is the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you're baptized, and with him you were raised. I don't know about you, but when I read the word here, it gets my spirit excited. You were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins and he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it on the cross. And in this way, he disarmed spiritual rulers and authority. Listen to this, this is just awesome. He shamed the devil publicly by his victory over them on the cross. He shamed. See, Jesus doesn't bring shame to people.
He says, shame off you. The devil says, shame on you. But Jesus shamed him publicly and showed him he was powerless. And he says, you have no right. You have no authority over my children anymore. You might try to attack them, but they have the power to resist you because they have me living in them. And if my spirit lives in them, they are unstoppable. So we need to learn to resist the devil. It says this, for the Bible says here he shamed them publicly by his victory. Another version says he made a spectacle of them openly. See, Jesus on the cross wasn't a secret death. It was a, here I am naked with everything. And I'm going to expose the enemy. The enemy thinks he's got me nailed. He thinks he's nailed me down. He thinks he's about to destroy me. But I'm going to show publicly. You might think you've nailed me for a moment, but I'm going to resist you. I'm going to take back your keys and I'm going to take your lies and I'm going to show to the world that my power is far more greater than what you pretend to be. I'm believing that God is ministering to you powerfully like he is in the service right now. God has the greatest days ahead for you. So why don't you open up your heart as we continue on in this message? The Bible says the enemy comes like a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He comes as an imitator. You know, one of my favorite episodes of Seinfeld. My favorite person in Seinfeld is not George. He's very annoying. I know a few Georges in my life and they're very annoying. My favorite person is Kramer. Kramer's the best. One day he put on these skinny jeans that were really tight. You know, he's got the funny hair and stuff and he's got these movements. And so he's walking in his skinny jeans like this. He can't walk properly, but somebody sees his shadow. Because a shadow makes something look bigger than really it is, makes it look more ugly than it really is. And so as he's walking, they see this big monster on this wall because of the shadow. And that's what the devil tries to do. He tries to shadow and intimidate and try to make us look like he's really big. But all you got to do is put the light on the shadow and everything that looks big disappears because the light has more power than darkness. And see, that's why God wants things to be brought to the light, because the light will set you free. That's why he didn't die a secret death, he died a public death and a public resurrection. You see, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, but he also came to be Lord of all. He didn't come to be Lord of few. He came to be Lord of all. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is almighty. He is the Alpha and he is the maker. He's the Alpha and Omega, and he is the maker too. He is the beginning and he is the end. He is the all-powerful one. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was the fourth man in the fiery furnace. He is the one who gives you power from on high. He will give you a dream and a vision, and you will become unstoppable because he is greater. He shut the mouth of the lion in Daniel's den. He was a person that empowered Peter, who denied him. And then one day he stood and said, you who crucified Christ, this Jesus is all powerful. He's all glorious. He's all magnificent. And he cannot be stopped. Communism tried to stop him, but the biggest Pentecostal movement in the world is in China right now. Why? Because Jesus is unstoppable. Is there somebody so in love with Jesus here today that want the whole world to know that he is alive? Jesus came to be Lord of all. He came to lead you into all truth. Do not let anything capture you or chain you up. Don't let religion chain you up. Don't let people trying to do things in secret chain you up. Jesus canceled the record and the charges of sin against you. and against me. We're all sinners, the Bible says. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And our sin would have sent us to hell, but because of Jesus made a spectacle of the enemy and took his power and defeated sin, defeated sickness, defeated fear, defeated pain, and he took it. And he says, I've won for you. I've cancelled the charges against you. He shamed the devil publicly. And Christ's resurrection and reformation power lives in you and me. So this Jesus has given us authority. So how do I live in this authority? I humble myself before God and put my dependence upon Him. I say every day, God, I need you. Without you, I can do nothing. Oh, I can do human endeavors, but I want to do supernatural increase endeavors. I want to live a life that blows my mind. I want to live a life that only you can get the glory for. I don't want to live a life that I can get the glory for. I want to live a life that's so supernatural that only God can be praised. It can't be man. It has to be God. Yeah. Humble yourself and resist the devil. I want to talk to you about resistance training. When I used to work out, I did resistance training. Resistance training is every Christian needs to understand resistance training, spiritual resistance training. You need to learn to resist the devil. What happens in natural training when you do resistance training? It makes you stronger. You see, when you stand against the enemy and walk in the strength of what God has called you to be, you become stronger because you learn to resist the lies of the enemy, resist the temptations of the flesh, resist feelings dominating you and live by faith. Resistance training. But what does resistance training do? It gives you more confidence. You ever seen a guy with muscles? He doesn't walk like, I'm gonna hide them. He puts on a tight t-shirt, has his human growth hormones in the morning, does resistance training, and he doesn't walk around. You know. That's me. I put jackets on to hide, cover a multitude of sin, wear black, it's awesome. White, not good. Bright colors, not so good. Black. That's why I always preach in black. You thought I was Catholic? No, it's just I got a lot of... I was wearing this silver chain with a cross and someone said, are you a priest? I'm like, I'm too cool to be a priest. Just kidding, sort of. But you don't see muscle guys walk down the street going... No, they walk around. But they have a confidence about their life because they've learned to develop resistance. See, when you understand who you are in Christ and you stand against the enemy, it gives you more confidence. Thirdly, about resistance training is weight is not an issue, mobility is not an issue, and being flexible is not an issue. When you've learned to develop your resistance in your resistance training, I'm the most inflexible person in the world. Look, that's as far as I can bend. But I was a great footballer. I would scoop the ball off. If I had played for Collingwood, they would have won. Just, sorry, but that's the truth. It'll set you free. But when you do resistance training, you become more flexible. You have mobility. And God wants you to be flexible in His spirit. He wants you to have mobility that you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. That nothing can stop you, not being weighed down by sin. The Bible says that Jesus came to, that we have a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on to let go of the sin that would so easily entangle us, Hebrews chapter 12, and to run the race unentangled. You see, when you're training and resisting the enemy, what happens is you become more agile and you're able to do things that you never dreamed you could. Resistance training is good for your health. Same with your spiritual health. But here's the point I want to get to. Resistance leads to momentum. You say, what do you mean? We used to go to these youth camps and we had these slingshots. And there would be these big rubber bands and we'd pull them back, resistance. You see, the enemy wants to pull you down. He tries to pull you down. He tries to intimidate you. He tries to hurt you. And so many times we just let him pull us and take us to places instead of resisting. And it's in the tension of resistance you create this slingshot effect. David was coming before Goliath, and what did he do? He picked up a stone and he picked up a slingshot. He swung it behind to create a momentum of resistance that would go forward. So when the enemy tries to attack you and you resist him, you're like a spiritual slingshot. And the stronger you resist him, the Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee. So there's a moment of resistance that he has to let go and escape. But what that does, that resistance actually becomes the momentum that flings you into a place that you never thought you could go. I have a friend of mine, Reggie Dabbs, some of you know him. He has his mother slept with a guy for $20 and produced him. She gave him away to an English teacher. Reggie was brought up by this English teacher, not understanding his identity, not understanding who his mother was. Why would my mother sell me for $20? And then one day he had a revelation he was a son of God. He had a revelation that God had called him and appointed him. He had a revelation that God was for him. And so as he had this understanding, the resistance of the enemy he decided to resist the enemy and say, no, I'm called and I'm appointed. I am not a mistake. I'm not an accident. I am appointed by God. God ordained my step, and he resists him and the devil had to flee, and it propelled Reggie into his God-given destiny. And now he goes and speaks to millions of students face to face. And he says, you can't change your past, but you can change your future. I'm an example of how love overcame. What did he do? He resisted. I have a friend of mine. His name's Dave Reaver. He was in the Vietnam War. And as he was coming into the water, into the beach, he was on this boat and a sniper shot, and he was holding a phosphorus grenade. And as he's about to throw the grenade, he gets shot and it blows up in his face. So phosphorus you cannot put out unless you take oxygen out. So he jumps in the water and he says, this is true. He said, I could see my skin in the water. And he goes, I was on fire. And he had just left America for war and he'd been married 6 months. They get him onto a stretcher and he burns through the stretcher and falls on his head. Then they put him in a helicopter. They think he's dead. They've put him in a body bag and they're about to put the dog tags in his mouth, and he cries out, medic! And the medic freaks out. The helicopter pilot freaks out because they thought he was dead, and the helicopter starts spinning and he thinks, we're going to crash and I'm going to be the only survivor. He gets put in a Japanese hospital and he's on morphine. And his face is distorted, and he asked the nurse for a mirror, and so the nurse sillily bought him a mirror, and he saw a face that he didn't recognize. And as he was on this morphine, he began to hallucinate, and this voice started speaking to him, kill yourself, kill yourself. Your wife will never recognize you, she will leave you. So he laid back and pulled the tubes, and he wanted to die. He said he didn't die, he just got hungry because he pulled the wrong tubes. He pulled lunch. He comes back to America, he's in a VA hospital. The guy next to him has no recognizable part on his body, he's just, whole body's been burnt. And as he's lying there, the guy's wife comes in. She can't handle it. She takes off her ring, puts it at his feet and says, I can't live with this, and walks out. So my friend David is sitting there and he thinks, my wife's gonna come in and she's going to go, well, I can't live with you. And as she walks in, she reads the chart because she can't recognize him. And she comes and bends over and kisses him on his face, the most burned part of his body. And she says, "Welcome home, Davey." And he says to her, "I'm sorry, I can't look good for you anymore." And she goes, "I didn't marry you for your looks anyway." And then he went on this journey of discovering who he was in Christ. The devil wanted to pull him into depression, into suicide thoughts. But he decided to resist that. And so he became a speaker in high schools. And he would go into schools and he would say, "I've got scars on the outside. You've got scars on the inside. We're even." And he would talk about how the love of a wife, the love of God, overcame his scars. I remember taking him through a school one day, and you know, young people are a little insensitive at times and they didn't know who he was. And as he's walking through this school, this kid yells out, "Who's that freak?" He puts his head down and starts walking. He gets in the assembly, he's a little nervous. He's spoken to millions of people worldwide. And he's talking, then he tells a joke, and you know, they said, he says a statement like, someone asked him, "How'd you get those scars?" He said, "I got it bobbing for French fries." And he made a joke out of his disabilities and his pain. And a kid would laugh, and then the school would laugh, and then they'd be laughing and they'd be crying. And he says this thing at the end, he said, "I came in here feeling ugly and unloved. But because of your love, I feel handsome." And the whole school stands and cheers. After the meeting, this little kid comes and says, "I want to talk to you, sir." He pulls me over and he says, "I don't want to talk to kids alone. I want someone there to be with me." And he says, "Who do you blame for your scars?" He says, "I blame war. I don't blame anybody." He goes, "I'm Vietnamese." And he said, "Because of your love, I feel loved today." And they hugged. You see, what did David do? He resisted the enemy who tried to say, "You're ugly, you're worthless, you're useless." He resisted it, and eventually the devil had to let go, but the resistance catapulted him to release people into their destiny. There are people in this place, and you are in a battle right now. You are in a challenge right now. You know, our church is growing. You know, we just started 3 preview services last week. You know, if you look at the church, everything's going great. God's doing, people getting saved. And I'm so grateful and so thankful. There's supernatural increase. But even in the supernatural increase, there is still resistance. The Lord spoke to me when I was away and he says, the enemy is trying to resist people's next level. And some of you go, why have I been feeling this way? Or how am I feeling like that? It's because the enemy's trying to pull you down because he understands your potential. And it's time to resist him. And in that resistance, there's going to come a momentum. Just like my friend David and my friend Reggie. That will catapult you into places that will blow your mind. You know, the very thing that the cross did is it catapulted Jesus into being the savior of the world. Before that, he was the miracle worker. He was the rabbi. But it was the cross that shot him to the four corners of the earth. There's other people who've died upon the cross, but you never talk about them because it was the cross of Jesus that created a momentum in the world that changed humanity forever. It made an access to God. It made a way that we could have forgiveness of sin and freedom because the purpose Jesus came was to destroy the works of the enemy and release you into your God-given destiny. And you say, "Russell, I've got some resistance, I've got some stuff happening I didn't realize. And I've just accepted it, but today I'm resisting it. In the name of Jesus, I'm not accepting the facts. I'm going to apply the truth. It might be in your health. It might be in your family. It might be in your money. It might be whatever it is in your mental health. There's some things that are going on in your life. And God's saying, resist the enemy and he will flee from you. Why? Because Jesus, as I read before, has done it all. He says, shame off you. He says, I empower you. I make you a winner. I make you a grinner. I give you ability. I give you power. I give you joy. I give you a life that will blow your mind. And you say, hey, Russell, I'm feeling some things that the enemy's trying to pull me down. I haven't let him, but he's trying to pull me down. But today I'm going to stand. The Bible says, having stand firm. The Bible says this, the enemy comes in like a flood, but God raises up a standard against it. Paul's there, and at the end of his life, he says to Timothy, I have run the race. I've kept the faith. And Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament in prison, in resistance to the enemy trying to imprison his spirit. He says, you aren't imprisoning me. I'm going to write about the goodness of God and I'm going to empower people to be free in Jesus. That resistance helps us today. And you say, Russell, I got some resisting to do today. If that's you, stand to your feet all across this room. We're not focusing on the devil. We're focusing on Jesus because it's Jesus who has won for us. It's Jesus who is victorious. He's empowered us. We just got to stand in his authority. We got to stand in his might. The Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. The Spirit of God in you makes you a winner. So right now, would you do this? Say, I come out of agreement with any lie, any intimidation, anything the enemy would try to do to me, I resist it. I resist the enemy in the name of Jesus. And my Bible promises me that the devil will flee. So goodbye. See you later. I'm a winner. I'm anointed. I'm appointed because Jesus has overcome for me. I stand in the authority that Jesus has won for me. In the name of Jesus, I declare victory on the left, victory on the right, victory ahead, victory behind. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus because he has overcome. We are so thankful that you've given up your time to listen to the Word of God today. We are believing that as you resist the devil, that you will step into the place where God has for you. There will be a propelling of your destiny, a propelling of your future, because God's plan for you are for good. We'd love to connect with you. Why don't you email us at church@planetshakers.com or on any social media platform, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is, we want to connect with you. We are believing that Jesus will touch your life this week in the most amazing way. And just you just need to know this, the best days are ahead of you because Jesus is Lord.